Operation Migration wins a temporary reprieve from the FAA. The NTSB finds two aspects of Reno to look at more closely. And the Coast Guard may not prosecute a wire strike victim after all. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, January 11th, 2012. Operation Migration caught a break from the FAA Monday. The agency announced it will allow this year's migration of young whooping cranes to continue behind an LSA trike flown by paid employees of the charity. But it's a one-time waiver due to the circumstance, not a ruling which might have created precedent for the use of light sport aircraft in the future. Whooping cranes nearly became extinct in the 20th century, with only 15 thought to exist in 1941. Chicks were successfully bred in captivity, but there were not enough adult birds to show them the annual migration route. The flyway Operation Migration is trying to reestablish runs from central Wisconsin to central Florida. During a stand-down, the young migrating cranes have been sheltered in northern Alabama. The Washington Post reports more than 1,400 people added their names to an online petition in support of Operation Migration. The species is still endangered, with just over 100 known to exist. The NTSB's hearing on Tuesday regarding Jimmy Leeward's P-51 crash at the 2011 Reno Air Races resulted in testimony from FAA Director of Flight Standards Service John McGraw that no additional regulations are needed at this time. NTSB Chairman Deborah Herzman questioned the setbacks for spectator areas at Reno, where at least one turn in the course directs aircraft inertia toward the crowd, which is a no-no at normal air shows. She said the board will also be looking at the qualifications for air bosses. But while the board ponders the regulatory side, there are also civil lawsuits being considered. And some of the spectators who were injured are baffling their personal injury attorney by telling him they'd still like to attend races in the future. The Associated Press quotes lawyer Tony Busby, who's representing 16 injured spectators, as responding, quote, "I just look at them, shake my head, and say, you are absolutely nuts. When you think about highly modified aircraft going over 500 miles per hour, 50 or 100 feet off the ground in the area of thousands of people, I think common sense would tell you, man, that just sounds on its face just very dangerous," unquote. Busby says the desire to attend in the future is not unanimous, and that some of his clients believe the races should be ended. A U.S. Coast Guard lieutenant facing serious charges in the 2010 crash of an MH-60 Jayhawk could catch a break if the recommendations of an investigator are accepted by a commander. As ANN reported, 31-year-old Lieutenant Lance Leone earned a long list of Coast Guard awards and accolades, including commendation medals. Witnesses to the accident say that during the flight from Astoria, Oregon, to the crew's base in Sitka, Alaska, the helicopter was flying low and hit power cables strung 1,900 feet from La Push, Washington, to James Island. Leone was pulled from the water by onlookers. He was the only survivor. The Coast Guard charged Leone with negligent homicide, dereliction of duty, and destruction of government property, contending he failed to properly navigate to avoid charted hazards and negligently failed to ensure the helicopter was flying at a higher altitude. He's also being held accountable for the loss of the $18 million aircraft. He could face more than 7 years in prison if convicted at court-martial. Prosecutors tried to make the case that Leone was responsible for the navigation of the aircraft. His civilian attorney countered that the lieutenant programmed a course which would have missed the wires, but that the pilot, Lieutenant Sean Kruger, saw a Coast Guard vessel in the water below and deviated from the programmed course to fly low over the boat. No blame was assigned to Kruger for his role in the wire strike. The Associated Press now reports it has obtained recommendations from Captain Andrew Norris, an investigating officer, which suggests the charges focus on alleged navigational failures by Leone and tie those to destruction of a helicopter and death of two crew members. Norris opines, quote, "It is in this focus and in making this tie that I believe the charged offenses fail," unquote. A decision on whether to proceed with a court-martial will be made by Rear Admiral Thomas Ostebo, who is not bound by Norris's finding. In the time since the accident, Leone recovered and was cleared to retrain for a return to flight status, but was assigned desk duty while the case played out. The case has also been controversial due to the appearance of scapegoating. Maintenance of the power line is officially the responsibility of the U.S. Coast Guard, and the line has taken down two aircraft in the past, one in the late 1950s and another in 1961. Still ahead, Charlotte NIMBYs file suit against their airport. Pipistrel launches its virus on a very long trip. And who buys banner flights over a domed stadium in a TFR? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, January 11th. I'm Paul Plack. NIMBYs living within a few miles of Charlotte Douglas International Airport in North Carolina aren't messing around when it comes to protesting the disruptions to their lives caused by the opening of a fourth runway in February of last year. WSOC Television reports that 48 of them have banded together, retained attorney Tommy Odom, and filed a lawsuit against the airport, seeking compensation for the impact on the values of their homes. Odom tells the station, quote, "The noise, the vibrations, the air quality, and all of those things put together, it causes serious disruptions in their life, and that results in the decrease of their property value," unquote. The continued growth of the Charlotte area, now at over 2 million population, has led to increased traffic over the years. The metro has been a popular relocation destination for former residents of Rust Belt cities in the Northeast, and its economy benefits from a location on the I-85 corridor. WSOC reports some residents claim their property values have fallen as much as 25% due to the runway, but the station says it checked official records from the county tax assessor and found the values of some of the properties involved have risen by as much as $30,000. Vince Salazar, who lives in the affected area, tells the station the lawsuit is a waste of time. Quote, "They're a little loud, but not that loud," unquote. The South Charlotte News reports a second lawsuit is also being ready by attorney Will Turpining, who lives in an area not affected directly by the new runway, but which sees more airliners overhead as a result of a transition to GPS-optimized flight paths by the FAA. Turpining says homes as far as 20 miles from the airport are being subjected to increased noise levels, which he calls, quote, "a situation that affects tens of thousands of people," unquote. Turpining says he plans to work pro bono for participants in his suit. When Burt Rutan's Voyager became the first aircraft to circumnavigate the globe without refueling back in 1986, the feat was being called the last first in aviation, at least until the late Steve Fawcett did it solo in a jet called Global Flyer in 2005. While that mark is no longer available to be claimed, aircraft developers have found a new incentive for pursuing higher efficiencies, the green movement. On Sunday, Pipistrel, a Slovenian company, celebrated the start of what is planned to be a global flight of 62,000 miles in its Virus SW914. The aircraft is derived from the production version of the Virus, but features even further weight reduction techniques to allow it to fly at 30,000 feet, twice the ceiling of the production model, where it'll travel at up to 180 miles per hour. Discovery.com reports that the pilot, Matevž Lenarčič, departed Ljubljana, the capital of Slovenia, and expects to fly to Morocco, Senegal, across the Atlantic, up and down the coasts of South America, over the Antarctic and across the Pacific to New Zealand, Australia, Southeast Asia, and back to Africa. The company says the flight, being conducted in cooperation with Penn State University, isn't just to demonstrate the plane's outstanding endurance and fuel economy, but also to show its potential role in climate and atmospheric studies, including areas with limited sensor networks. And finally today, Super Bowl 46 will be played next month in Indianapolis, in Lucas Oil Stadium, and at least three groups say they're planning to hire banner planes to publicize messages to the crowd. There are two obvious problems with that plan. There will be a TFR, which, despite invoking security as a premise, is widely seen as an excuse to control advertising. And the other issue is that Lucas Oil Stadium has a dome. Granted, that dome is retractable, and the NFL will want it open if the weather is good, which might provide a wider field view of the sky. But the TFR is expected to include the normal 10-mile radius no-fly zone in its center, which would pretty much ensure that no banner planes could get close enough to the game to have their messages read by people seated inside the stadium. There will no doubt be lots of ground traffic before and after the game, but nowhere near as concentrated or attentive as a typical stadium opportunity. So, who are these groups who've arrived at this plan to spread their message by air and are trying to raise money to make it happen? One is Impeach Obama Tea Party. It appears to be an offshoot of the Tea Party movement, managed mainly through a Facebook account, with only about 8,300 likes so far. The second is Stop Obama Now San Diego, and is administered through a meetup.com page. The page says in part, quote, "This is an independent group that concentrates on street protests, mainly to protest the continuing outrages of the statist Obama regime and calls for his removal. This is a group for people that want to be more outspoken, more anti-Obama, and less Republican-oriented than typical Tea Party," unquote. And finally, Boycott Oprah has a website with its own URL and appears to be a group of people of unknown size concerned that the talk show queen is, quote, "working to give our country's great religions moral equivalence to any snake-charming, Kool-Aid-drinking, New Age nonsense," unquote. Well, at least there's one upside. Somebody still finds value in general aviation. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.